Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to our show. This is the I Am Real Estate Show with Sandra and Raymond. And today we have our guest host, Danielle Johnson. And we want to thank you guys for being with us today. We really appreciate it. Today, we're going to talk about a little bit about home inspections and give some little tips and insight with our resident master inspector, Michael Oakland from Horizon Inspections. How you doing, Mike?
Good, man.
First thing we want to start about, how things going in the inspection world?
Oh, my gosh. It's like crazy. Like last week, I practically had to clone myself. It was so busy. Mm-hmm. This week is like the sound of crickets, man. It's weird. Feast or famine. It's just weird market.
That is true. I have to say, this is a strange market that we're in. I found myself doing a multiple counter offer this week. And it's like, that's been a while since I've done a multiple counter offer. So, yeah.
That's crazy town. Yeah.
But it just shows that the market is moving, I think, in an upward trajectory.
Yeah, I think buyers are coming off the fence. I think people are seeing some hope. They're like, wow, the sellers aren't holding all the aces in the deck anymore. Let's go buy a house.
And I think buyers know what's valuable in having an inspector there and what they need, and having their asset inspected before they go and make a big decision.
Yeah. This morning's appointment was really just a follow-up for a leaking skylight. Uh-huh. Infrared saw a bunch of moisture, so that was like, let's make sure they fixed it right. I was like, okay. So yeah.
Did they fix it right?
They did, actually.
That's awesome.
Good job. But it was night and day.
It was.
Like the photos that went into the report, infrared photos showed really significant and obvious leak that was kind of this odd shape, cold spot, cold anomaly. Got up there, with the moisture meter, verified that it was wet. And then today's follow-up, it's like, this is like a month later.
Yeah.
I'm like, we just had a bunch of snow sitting on the roof.
Yes, yes.
So it's like perfect moment to look. And dry as a bone. Yeah, pretty boring.
That's awesome. We like boring in real estate.
Oh, yeah. Boring is great. Boring is great.
So was that located during your roof inspection as part of your inspection portion, or was that that part of their roof inspection and they just asked you to come out and verify?
Yeah, that one was, I think the actual defect was flagged in the report in the roof section, uh-huh. Around the skylight section.
In your report or in the roof section? Or in the roof
I didn't actually see the roof report from your
inspection.
Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, in that particular case, there's no way a roofer could have caught this leak, a skylight leak.
Okay.
It was there. The paint at the ceiling and above the kitchen was perfectly flat. There was no distaining. There was no. It was relatively recent. So.
Yeah, I think the whole point I was trying to get is that people need to understand how important it is to have a home inspector. You inspect the roof, you inspect the AC, the HVAC. You're inspecting the foundation. Sometimes you look at a lot of things they don't realize unless they look at that report and see how thorough your report is when you finally get it to them.
Yeah, I mean, and just read the whole report.
Right, read the report. Well, and you as a general inspector are looking at more than any of the individual trades would. So in this case, you mentioned you wouldn't have seen it from the roof.
No, you'd have seen the janky job that they did trying to repair the skylight, but you wouldn't have known if it was actually leaking or not.
Right.
But at the time that we did the inspection, it had rained like the night before. Ideal situation to catch a leak in the act of leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And the infrared, kind of like cheating, it just saw it. I mean, it was like, it was super, super obvious. I mean, it just was obvious. It was obvious to the infrared, but not obvious to the naked eye.
Okay. Well, this is why, again, it's important. So you, as kind of a generalist, are looking at things a little bit differently than the specialist is.
Yeah.
And you also get access to the inside of the home, and our roofers don't always have access to the inside.
That's so true. That's so true. I would go to bat to defend a roofer who misses a leak like 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because half the time that I see a leak, like I saw a leak that the roof inspection had just been done by a specialist. From the surface, everything looked copacetic.
Mm-hmm.
When I get in the attic, I did a quick scan with the infrared and I saw a leak below a flashing, like a valley flashing. And there's, even with my light on it, I still couldn't see it, but the infrared could see the fact that it was cold. It was a water spot there. I'm like, whoa. And so I like looked at that and like, yeah, I got a Jackie Chan my way through the attic to get closer. I'm like, that's an actual leak.
Wow.
There's no way you could have seen that from above. I mean, unless you have X-ray vision. I mean, but I don't think Superman is in the home inspection business. It'd be nice.
Yeah, throw a GoPro on before you Jackie Chan one of those ones and just show us what the life of a home inspector is really like.
I should totally do that. Yeah, we were before the show, we were talking about like blogging and doing the videos. Yeah. I should literally take my camera with me into the attic and or under the house in a crawl space and show like this is how ugly it can get. This is what we do. Just for grins. People might actually like go like, man, I need to tip my home inspector. Come buy him a beer afterward. He did what? He only charged me what?
Yeah, I said once I never wanted to know what was underneath anyone's house, and the inspector said to me, you don't want to know what's under the kitchen sink or the bathroom sink. That's what you really don't want to know.
Yeah, all the zombies are under the house. Yeah, this is gross. But they're slow zombies. Yeah.
Fortunately, we're mostly slab on grade here, so you don't have to climb under a lot of houses.
Yeah, tomorrow's inspection is a manufactured home, so I'm going to be crawling. I'm going to do the army crawl.
You think so? Even in the east, even in downtown, you're not.
There's some of the older homes will have a crawl space. Yeah,
I did live in a house when I was in attending the U of A that had a big space under the house. And we had a big opening in our floor where we could go and crawl down underneath.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you could stand up there. You could walk around down there.
Wow.
There was a whole big space.
And finish the story. Somebody went down there and found what?
Well,
it smelled really
skunky. Someone was definitely staying under there at one point. There were spoons and bowls and different things. Someone had been possibly living under there for a while.
As long as there's no bodies.
So the access wasn't only from inside the house. There was access from outside the house too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine you're in college and you find someone's been kind of hanging out underneath your house? It was kind of a...
Yeah.
It made a really nice story at our Halloween party though. It did kind of take the little spooky factor up a bit for us.
Yeah. I think the craziest thing I've seen under a house live was a sea otter.
What?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a demon. It growled like and just nasty guttural growl.
This was not
like,
in Tucson.
No, this is in Washington State. No.
They don't have me here, man.
They don't have sea otters in Arizona, right?
The zoo.
There's no sea otters in Arizona.
It's the weirdest thing you ever saw under a house. I'm like, okay.
That's true. No, that's fair. You've only known me in Arizona as an otter.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Okay.
No, this is in Washington State by the water. It's on an island. Yeah, it's crazy.
How'd you get it out?
I didn't. I got out. I'm like, okay, this is your house. I'm out. Done. We'll see you.
Think of that army crawling. Who's faster underneath the house?
No, the second worst was trying to, was a beehive, and it was awake. And I'm like, I was like Neo in the Matrix. I was out of there so fast.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Again, I'm saying, wear the GoPro. I want to see some video footage of this.
Yeah, I saw home inspection firms, when depending on what part of the country and their crew size, they'll send a drone, like a robot drone under the house with a camera.
What?
Yeah. There's a whole sub-industry in home inspections about just like a drone. It's on track, like a tractor-wheeled vehicle. Mechanized camera, a little GoPro, and the whole nine. Oh, yeah.
Like, guys,
drop $2,000 on a drone.
Okay, I will not, but thank you for the offer.
If you're going to drop $2,000 on a drone, it's going to be like a fly over the house, like that kind of drone,
right.
Aerial drone.
Especially in Tucson.
We're headed to the break. We're here with Michael Oakland of Horizon Inspection. Thanks for spending some part of your afternoon with us today. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Thanks for staying with us. You are here with the I Am Real Estate Show, sponsored by the Johnson Smith team at Indy Realty.
And we just got word from the person behind the glass window here that we never introduced Danielle.
Oh.
And her voice just kind of appeared out of nowhere. So we have Danielle Johnson here.
Hello.
Who is our newest team member. And she's going to be a frequent guest host on the show. So that's whose voice you heard.
And you're stuck with me.
I'll just do a shameless plug here. She does a podcast as well called Hope Bound with Danielle. And if you're interested in podcasts, it's for women who are struggling with trauma, loss, or domestic violence. So we highly recommend you look her up. That's Hope Bound with Danielle.
Thank you.
Sweet. Love it.
So we were going to talk about, see if I get this right, the two temptations inspectors need to avoid.
Mm. Wow, that's good. I would say
you wrote it. Yeah. It should be good.
Yeah, it's almost like a T-ball slow pitch right over the plate.
Wow.
For me, I've thought about this a lot. There's two voices that I would say that are common that will tempt every home inspector, no matter where they're from. The voice of greed and the voice of fear. So the voice of greed basically says, go easy, inspect with a light pencil. Let's not get it branded as a deal killer. Let's just, it's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. We'll just kind of use soft language and kind of let things slide. That inspector is really primarily focused on protecting future referral business and kind of being leaning toward the realtor community. The voice of fear goes the other direction. It says, when in doubt, call it out. Everyone's going to sue you six ways from Sunday if you don't catch everything. You don't want to miss a thing. And so they are more focused on liability control.
Mm-hmm.
Both temptations are a mistake, because it takes your eye off the ball of the evidence and of protecting the first and highest person in the room, which is the client.
Gotcha.
So what does the evidence say? What is it not? Sometimes evidence doesn't speak. It needs a level-headed, objective interpreter.
Right.
And so you got to bring your intellectual tools to bear on what the evidence is actually saying, mm-hmm. and be completely indifferent to whether or not you're going to scare anybody. It just doesn't matter. You can you say things in soft language? Sure. But you can't pull punches and just overlook evidence for the sake of not scaring anybody. Well, so as soon as an inspector starts thinking about what's the outcome of this conversation, they've already missed. So mm-hmm. I think that humor is a really healthy anesthetic.
Yeah.
So use humor to keep it lighthearted, be engaging in the evidence, but at the same time, you don't want to be so serious that you can't have fun.
Right.
But you want to be so goofy that people can't take you seriously. So look at what it is.
Nailed it.
Speak to the evidence, answer questions, and then don't speculate about people's motives. Don't speculate about anything. Just, stick to the facts. Just like what they said in Friday from Dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
I almost want to give you like a real life scenario here and just see how you're going to handle this.
Bring it in.
Okay, so let's say that the floor is sagging. Make that funny.
Well, the foundation's tired. It needs to go to bed. Depending on what kind of sag we're talking about, if we're talking like a 1920s home where it's sagging on the outer edges, like a pier and post foundation, probably have a significant structural problem that may be it may be impractical to correct without massive like releveling of the foundation. If we're talking about a sagging spot because lack of support, like something got wet, there's decay to like mm-hmm. a wood subfloor,
mm-hmm.
What is it? So the question is, why is it sagging? Where is it sagging? How big of a deal is it? Is it a leaking floor flange below a toilet and we need to cut out a section of the floor and replace it? So the big question is, what's causing it? And mm-hmm. then get to that. And then it is what it is.
Right.
Sometimes it's a frowny face, Mr. Yuck sticker. It's like, I'm sorry, but this is what we found.
Right. So you kind of, sometimes you're the bearer of bad news, but really no news is good or bad. It's really becomes a price issue at that point, because you want to pay a fair price for the condition of the house.
Right.
And if it's reasonable, the buyer will buy the house. If it's reasonable, the seller will repair the house.
Yeah, and every buyer has to have the opportunity to address the facts and decide for themselves, is this too much of repair work for me to deal with?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So, everything's fixable. It's just going to cost a lot or it's not.
I would like to turn back to that story, story Sandra just brought up. The reason why I bring it up is that people have to realize that if you see that sinking foundation, right. Your report not going to say, hey, I think this, I think that. Your report's going to say, hey, this is what I found. You need to contact a certain person to find out what. Your report should say that consistently.
Yeah, yes, because we can't pretend to be engineers if we're not licensed engineers.
Okay.
But we can speak to a situation having, you know, every general home inspector can somewhat fake it. Like if you had to fake it and be an engineer on TV, and like we're going to do an episode of The Walking Dead, and I'm going to be the engineer, I could probably fake it convincingly.
Yeah.
We have to think about load paths. We got to think about structural integrity. What's a load-bearing wall? What's not? But at the end of the day, if something looks like it's really bad news, you gotta throw it to a specialist and get a full, confident prognosis.
You know, I will say from experience, it would be really nice to know when the floor is going to break underneath you so that you're not walking through the house having the floor break. Because that has happened to me before. This house I talked about earlier.
That's how they discovered
my foot went right through the floor.
That is how they discovered the plates and stuff underneath the foundation.
Or seeing a toilet halfway through the floor into the crawl space. It's like, yeah, that floor flange has been leaking for a while.
When you're looking at a house, there are so many things that you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so give us a number. What do you think? How many items are you looking at on that house?
Man, it's in the hundreds. Now you could break down the table of contents, like at Arizona standards of practice, you know, to mm-hmm. being, you know, over 100 items. But man, I mean, in my experience, the veteran home inspectors, they're not stopping at the Arizona standards of practice.
Right.
They're going beyond that.
Right.
They're doing things that are not required to do because they want to be good at their job.
Right.
They're going to, I want to say this in a way that any inspector whoever hears this episode is going to hear and see themselves in what I'm saying. Every home inspector worth their salt goes beyond the standards. It's just a matter of how. So they're going to go through their list of items, whether it's they're inspecting with a tablet and a camera, or if they're taking video or whatever they're doing. It's observe, document, explain. So FIR, findings, implications, recommendations. Every good inspection report should have all three. What did you see? What does it mean? What do you do?
And that is required.
Yeah. FIR.
Yeah, that is required.
What did you say are the normal tools of the trade for an inspector? I mean, I know you got you have the infrared, but is it a ladder?
What are the tools of the trade between for you guys? A ladder, a flashlight in your brain, and a screwdriver, you're probably that's the bare minimum. But yeah, we're probably going to run out of time before I can run through that list.
Yeah, we're here with Michael Oakland, who is with Horizon Inspections. Thank you for being with the show. We're going to be back on the other side to talk a little bit more about inspections with Michael, Sandra, and Danielle. Hi, guys. We're back. Before we were rudely interrupted by commercials.
Now, wait a minute. We love those commercials. That's what helps us.
You talk about tool to the trade, and I've thought about some of the things that are not a good inspector. What are normal things for tool of a trade for an inspector?
Yeah, I'd say some of the more common ones. You got to be able to get behind electrical panels. So, you know, screwdriver, whether it be hand-op or powered, to get past, you know, different bits. Some type of alt or either a pocket knife or an awl or some kind of a pick so that you can test wood, see if it's rotten or not.
Wow.
Tape measure, good power flashlights, probably multiple types of flashlights, knee pads, headgear if you're going to go into a crawl space, a crawl suit, knee pads, arm pads, whatever, mask, shoe covers, because you got to respect people's carpets in the interior.
Mm-hmm.
Polarity tester, maybe a multimeter, took 240 volt outlets. Which of course goes beyond the standards. Don't have to check 240 volt outlets, but there's no reason not to. Maybe a volt sniffer, or sometimes called a widow maker, to see if an outlet or a two prong outlet or mm-hmm. an old like a missing light bulb, does it have power?
Okay.
So some inspectors, if there's a light bulb that's out, they just note that the light bulb's out. Hey, replace the bulb. Sometimes they don't even say that. Sometimes they will actually remove the bulb, test the socket, see if there's power, and then put it back. So that's a very high customer service inspector who's going to do that. So those are some of the bonuses would be radon testing equipment, mold mm-hmm. testing equipment, infrared cameras, aerial drone. Those are some of the more exotic tools that someone may optionally choose to deploy.
You know what I didn't hear you say, and the thing that you always talk about is a camera.
Wow. Dang. Like Captain Obvious strikes again. Thank you, Ray. I can't. Yeah, you need to wear a cape next time. yeah, a digital camera. Yeah, that's super obvious. But
the reason why I say that, because you always say that to the clients, hey, when you see me I take a lot of pictures because I can remember things.
Yes. I say this as a way of setting expectations.
Yeah.
As I tell people, most homes, when I was a realtor, this is typically how I say it. When I was a real estate agent, people only took pictures of defects. All my inspectors only took pictures of defects. And that is not how I roll. I take pictures of everything, good, bad, and indifferent. Mm-hmm. So on a typical home inspection, I may take 200 to 300 photos.
Right.
That's way more than, like, even some of the best, most famous internachi inspectors or teaching classes, they take 80 to 100 photos. That's what they are aiming for in the report. I can't remember the last time I had less than 100 photos in the report. I don't remember who was president then. It was a while.
And can you speak to the reason that you're taking the photos if there's nothing wrong?
Yeah, it's basically my way of taking notes. I'll use hand signals to talk to myself. Why am I taking the picture? Where am I? So I can remember very specifically in a granular detail, where was I when I saw a particular defect? So if I take a picture of my outlet tester and it shows reverse polarity or open neutral or something really serious, like, where is this? Like, what room am I in? What specific outlet am I looking at? They all look the same with a close-up photo. Mm-hmm. So I'll take a picture of the reading. I'll take a wider shot. Which room am I in? So I may take extra photos just for context so that as I'm writing the report, I can write it in a way that's very detailed. And that way my electrician, who might be coming after me, knows exactly where to go.
And another thing you talked about, and one of your tools was infrared.
Yeah.
And so one of the things to talk about is the benefits and the limitation of infrared inspections.
Well, the benefits are you can see things that are not available to the naked eye without causing any damage or harm to the property.
Okay.
So all home inspectors are typically some of our sidebar speeches before we start are going to be, what we're going to be doing is non-invasive, non-destructive, a visual only inspection of the property. So we're not allowed to move furniture. We can't take that big old gun safe and shove it to the side and see what's going on behind it. Mm-hmm. If something's sealed off or locked, we have to kind of respect that and maybe ask for access. And so an infrared camera allows you to scan a large surface area in a room very quickly and potentially see things that might escape the naked eye. I've seen a GFI in a kitchen that was overheating, which, you know, I had permission to open it up.
Right.
And I found that it was leading to an electrical fire.
Okay.
Very, very hot connection. Melting charred wire. I've seen roof leaks. I've seen plumbing leaks inside walls. I've seen missing insulation. So there's certain things that you can use with an infrared camera. I think I'm probably one of a minority. I'm not the only company that uses it routinely, but I'm one of probably the minority that does. So, it's a powerful tool.
In the electric panel as well.
Oh, yeah. It's like overheated connections. You can see, like, really hot neutrals. You can see where they're melting and charred. Yeah. Super helpful.
What about when you're looking at the air conditioner or the heater? All right,
it can help with looking at, like, measuring temperature deltas, which is not required, but it's helpful. Mm-hmm. What a home inspector can do versus what a HVAC contractor can do. What an HVAC contractor is typically going to do is going to be more precise. They're going to use tools that what you call a wet bulb, dry bulb method, where they have sensors that are inside the airflow itself, the airstream, that's taking a direct measure of the air. A typical infrared laser thermometer, that like the gun style that you point at something, that's going to take a surface temperature in a fairly broad area. It's about a foot wide. And it's going to get the metal, the filter, you're going to get the readings of the stuff around it, not necessarily the air itself. So an infrared laser style thermometer is helpful. An infrared camera is a little more helpful. You can take use a crosshairs and get a precise reading of a specific spot. But an HVAC technician's measurement is just going to be way better, just way better.
I constantly am saying that I learn something on every show. So that is new for me that you're able to have that crosshair.
Yep. Not precise. All cameras can do it. A good quality professional infrared camera will be able to have a spot reading.
That's great.
Yeah.
We're actually about to close this last segment, do you want to let people know how they can reach you?
Sure. Just think really hard. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And
yeah, he'll be there. Show up.
I could be texted directly at my cell phone, area code 520-330-9703. You can call me. You can text me. You can email me at michael@horizoninspectionsllc.com. Or you could send me a carrier pigeon with a note tied to its leg. Smoke signals as long as we got clear skies.
Okay, and that may be going to the extremes here. You do both.
Is that sarcasm? Yeah. Or is that burnt popcorn? I'm not quite sure.
So you'll do a pre-listing inspection, or you work on behalf of the buyers. It's okay for buyers to reach out to you directly.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or you could just call Ray and Sandra, have them write the offer, and then they'll send them to me.
So. We will. Yeah. We've been using Michael for years now, and we absolutely appreciate the quality of your inspections and the way that you work with our clients. So we thank you for that.
Yeah. And Ray tolerates my humor.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for being on the show. This is Michael Oakland of Horizon Inspections, one of the best inspectors in the city. We're back to the show. Thank you guys for staying with us. And if you're looking to buy or sell your home or have any questions concerning real estate, we would love to help you. Please call the Johnson Smith team at 520-850-1725 or 520-904-7711. I think at some point we're going to have to put Danielle's number in here, but we'll work on that.
Give it out. I'll do that. 520-373-6864.
There you go. That's the Johnson Smith team. And we want to talk a little bit about the Academy Village.
Yeah, we have mentioned over the last 2 weeks, I think, a listing that we had that was a townhome in a 55 and older community, and it's called Academy Village. And so there is an entire lifestyle, I think, that comes with purchasing a home there. And Danielle was able to do a tour of their property and learn a little bit about the perks of living in Academy Village. So we thought it'd be kind of fun to highlight that. We are under contract on that property, and so it is contingent at this time, but we do want to talk a little bit about the community because there's probably a lot of people that haven't heard of Academy Village before.
You know, when I went on the tour, one of the first things you notice is that there's mountains all the way around, and so you've got great views the whole time you're walking through it. You can see the mountains. You can see just a lot of really beautiful backdrops as you're walking. Mm-hmm.
Let's give a general location. So we're talking that it's on Old Spanish Trail, and it's across from Rocking Cay, the new development that is out there.
A few miles past Houghton. So it's a really nice area. It's, like I said, it's very beautiful. But when you walk onto the campus, there are so many different things that you can see, so many different activity centers. There's a little dance studio where they do all kinds of exercise kind of classes. There are opportunities, I think they said, for, I can't remember if it was swing or if it was a two-step. There was some kind of dancing in there. I mean, they've got it set up.
Yeah, it could be used for their exercise classes as well.
There was a gym that is phenomenal.
Legit. I'm telling you, it was a legit gym.
They have a professional kitchen, and she said that they actually hire some chefs from some of the resorts to come in and teach them how to do some kind of meal. Wow. And so they put on, I mean, really opportunities.
Can I say dope about a 55? I think I probably can.
I think you can.
I think I'm closer to 55 than 35, I can tell you that. That sounds super cool.
They've got a kiln on campus where they actually do ceramics, and they have created their own murals. They have
did they do the mural that's out in front of the community center? Beautiful.
Did that one, and they're in the process of doing another one for the wall next to the swimming pool. And I mean, it's beautiful. They've got the whole thing set up where you can see the pieces that are done. You can see what they're planning to create to finish this mural.
Super
and it's
cool.
All done by the residents, everything. And when we walked in, they were doing a painting class. And I mean, the opportunities there are just incredible. And as we're passing by, she says, okay, we're going to be a little bit quiet right here because the French club is meeting over there. They have just groups that get together and they speak foreign languages and they just practice their language skills. And I mean, it's just, it's amazing how many different things, no matter what you're interested in, there's the opportunity. And I heard a few times while I was over there, if you live here and you're bored, it's your own fault. There are libraries. Yeah. They do happy hours. I mean, anything you could want, they've got it there.
They also have a really nice pool. It's huge. They've got it. It's heated, not 365 days a year, but it is heated from those.
I think she said when it goes below 50 degrees outside, They cover it so that they can try and keep it warm. And then once the temp comes up again, they open it up again.
And then they have the spa. They have a dog park.
They've got a tennis court where they do a lot of pickleball. They've got a game room. So there's ping pong and pool tables and tons of board games and card games. And
Is this an amusement park?
Yeah. If you're 55 and older, it's an amusement park.
I think this contingent offer just got a little tighter, a little stronger. The odds of this falling out of escrow is really low.
When we finished up the tour, I said, you know, I have a couple young kids, but if I didn't, I might try to convince you that I was old enough to live here. It's a really, really nice place.
And I believe at age 65 then, you would join the Senior Academy.
And they do a lot of lectures and they have performances and they actually have pianos that are out where the residents can just go practice on their pianos. And they do a lot of different lectures. The person who started it used to be the president of the University of Arizona, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he created this as a way for people who are connected to academics to stay connected to academics and to continue kind of thinking in that direction and with the lectures. And there's a library that is set up with lots of academic books so that someone can continue on in that path while
someone can finish their doctoral thesis while living in their own home and just like, hey, I'm going to scroll down in the library and grab a book.
You know, I think a lot of the benefit too is a sense of community. And a lot of people don't want to have to leave their neighborhood. And so it isn't like you're in the middle of town where you're going to have sirens and just the general activities of being in town, but you have access to so many activities to do. And then I know they do outings as well. They said it was kind of based on what people want to do in the community. You just talk to them if you want to go on a hike or if you have something specific that you would like to do that they just kind of, by request, will try to accommodate those.
And they have walking trails all the way around the complex. And they've got a map that shows you, you know, if you start here and you end here on this trail, this is how far you're walking. So you know what you're getting into. But there's the opportunity to do everything. It's all right there. And that community, I was only out there for a weekend with open houses and then for the tour. And I'll tell you, just in those 3 or 4 days, I feel like I just made some friends out there. I could go back over there and I know the people to go say hi to. And it felt so welcoming and like such a nice place to be, just nice, friendly, welcoming community.
And that's really was the feedback we got from people that came through our open house as well, is that they were familiar with the community. They loved going to the Senior Academy and taking classes there. And they just love that just has such a good feel of home.
Can I just point something out just as listening in on the conversation? I think sellers, this is from, as a former realtor, I just know this from experience. Sellers in any kind of special community like this, that sounds like a little niche community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
They love to list with realtors who love their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They don't want to list with some random person that's been spamming them with postcards. They want to list with someone who's walked the walk, who's been there, rubbed shoulders, eyeballed, starting to get to know people on a first name basis. So yeah, that's cool. So the fact that you love the community without probably meaning to, I think you've just increased your odds of attracting a seller, you know, listing with you.
You know, the house that we had listed for sale was a townhome. And it was one bedroom, one bath, and you have your one car garage. and they're kind of situated where there were mm-hmm. four houses together. So you have two mm-hmm. garages together, two, and then the two townhouses, and then across the street, two more. And one of the people that came through the open house had mentioned that they were frequently putting guests up in their home, and they're like, this is such a great guest house yeah. for us. We don't have to have them under our same roof. I thought, what a fun idea. I do know that they prefer to have longer term rentals if you're renting out the property there. But also one of the inquiries we had was someone who had a horse that they wanted to board. And you've got Rocking Cave Ranch right next door. Yeah. You literally could live in the one bedroom, one bath townhouse and board your horse in the neighborhood. And that was so unique to me.
Yeah, that's very cool. Having close access without having to, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed about the place is that same thing that Danielle noticed is that everyone is just so friendly. When we went over there just to go do our first tour with the clients, we met the neighbors, we met all of them, and they mm-hmm. were like, oh yeah, great, what's going on, talking about things, oh, we'd love to tell us what you need, if anybody comes to see the house, let them know, if, even though they couldn't do it, hey, we'll open the door for them, let them in, you let us know if you're not here, we'll take care, we thank you for all those things, but just right. the kindness is throughout, and it's one of those places where you walk, when you drive through, everybody's waving, it's like being back in Leave It to Beaver days, you know?
You know, I was literally thinking about Leave It to Beaver.
Leave It to Beaver, and everybody's walking
Gosh,
around.
Mrs. Cleaver, yes. You look lovely today.
Exactly. All the thing that they didn't dress in dresses and have high heels and walk around, get ready to go cook dinner or something like that. But it was such an amazing thing. It brought you back to the old days. Yeah. And you're like, wow, like, you truly, truly would love that neighborhood if you just went there and just went a couple of things. I didn't do a great job of attracting the right people for their neighborhood who just want to sit back and have fun. I don't know if you can say attract, or just bringing people in that loves it.
Well, I also wanted to mention that we have a price reduction on our listing at 710 East Blue Mesa Place, and that's in Corona de Tucson. It is range priced from $400 to $415, and it is a really nice three-bedroom, two-bath home that has some great views. View fencing so you could take advantage of that, and nice neutral tile on the floor, a fireplace. That is also in an area where you can get USDA financing. And so you could actually purchase this home without a down payment. And so really attractive there. If you have any questions, reach out to us. This is Sandra Johnson at 520-850-1725.
This is Ray Smith at 520-904-7711.
Danielle Johnson, 520-373-6864.
And we'd also like to take this time to thank our sponsors. We'd like to thank Michael with Horizon Inspections, Indy Realty, Inspired Life Mortgage, and Rego Pest Prevention. We also have a new sponsor. We have Caring Transitions and Pioneer Title Agency that will be joining us. And so we'd like to thank all of them, and thank you, our listener, for being here with us today.
See you on the other side. See you next week, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.